Happy Monday, Columbus, and welcome to Youth Beat here on Columbus Community Radio. I'm Lindsay Hirsch, your host for the evening, and boy, did you pick a great night to tune in. With Earth Day right around the corner, this Wednesday to be exact, we're altering our usual format to give you the inside and outside scoop on one of the United States' newest holidays. From history to celebrations, we'll tell you everything you never knew about Earth Day. But before we start talking, we'll play you in with everyone's favorite amphibian, Kermit the Frog.
It's not easy being green, having to spend each day the color of the leaves. When I think it might be nicer being red or yellow or gold or something much more colorful like that. It's not easy being green. Seems you blend in with so many other ordinary things, and people tend to pass you over because you're not standing out like flashy sparkles in the water or stars in the sky. But green's the color of spring, and green can be cool and friendly like. And green can be big like a mountain, or important like a river, or tall like a tree. When green is all there is to be, it could make you wonder why. But why wonder? Why wonder? I'm green, and it'll do fine. It's beautiful, and I think it's what I wanna be.
Usually Youth Beat tries to stay pretty current, but tonight we're going to take you back in time a bit. Not too terribly far, certainly not as far as our Thanksgiving special, but back nonetheless. So let's step into the official Youth Beat time machine, mind your head, and turn the patent-pending time dial to 1969. We're on the coast of Santa Barbara, California. The sand is soft, the breeze is warm, and there's a gigantic oil spill nicely blotting out that pesky little ocean. Sarcasm, folks. Sarcasm. But this oil spill, as catastrophic as it was, inspired something great. You see, the destructive aftermath of the Santa Barbara oil spill opened the eyes of Senator Gaylord Nelson of Wisconsin. Senator Nelson realized that he needed to do something to call attention to the damage being done to the earth. With the Vietnam War raging and the country in turmoil, he realized that we had forgotten the damage that was being done not only across the sea, but in our own backyard. So, Nelson decided to do something about it. He decided to start National Teach-In on the Environment Day, which, if you ask me, is a bit of a mouthful. Nevertheless, the single-minded and apparently highly vociferous Nelson started a campaign left and right for his new idea, eventually bringing on board Congressman Pete McCloskey as co-chair and an organizer named Dennis Hayes, who quickly assembled a dedicated and highly effective staff of 85 people. They set to work advertising, campaigning, and spreading the word about this new Teach-In Day, and on April 22, 1972, 20 million Americans nationwide attended lectures, planted trees, gave speeches, and organized protests in favor of better environmental policies. All right, I'm kind of making them sound like a bunch of tree huggers, aren't I? But really, folks, that first Earth Day was a huge success. It had the unusual effect of uniting both Democrats and Republicans, an event which has failed to be seen since. I'm kidding. I'm sure they agree on something. But not only did it bring the two houses together, it laid the groundwork for a number of very important pieces of environmental legislation, including the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, and the Endangered Species Act, all of which, by the way, are still in effect today. By 1989, Earth Day, they decided that Earth Day sounded much better than Environmental Teach-In Day, had grown into a much-loved and widely anticipated holiday around the United States. With almost 20 years of success ringing in their ears, the Earth Day team decided that it was time for their brainchild to go global. So in 1990, that's exactly what they did. After a great deal of work and back-and-forth communication, Earth Day 1990 mobilized over 200 million people in 141 countries all over the map. Recycling rates soared the world over, and in 1992, the United Nations Earth Summit met, largely as a reaction to the popular vitality of Earth Day. So that's a little bit of history for you. Now, you must be tired of hearing me talk, so I'm going to hand things over to reporter Nishant Makija, who interviewed Lucas McClish of Ohio State University. Lucas talks about his group, Students for a Sustainable Campus, and boy, I tell you, he is the real deal. Seriously, folks, stay tuned in just to hear this kid talk. But don't take my word for it. Here's the man himself.
And good evening. Welcome to The Beat Radio here on 98.3 and 102.1 FM. I'm Nishant Makija. We are here with Lucas McClish, who is the president for Students for a Sustainable Campus here at The Ohio State University. Welcome, Lucas, to Youth Beat Radio. How are you?
Thank you, Nishant. I'm doing really well today. How are you guys?
Good. Thank you for being with us, Lucas. So let's get right into this. Can you tell our listeners about the OSU Students Organization, Students for a Sustainable Campus here at The Ohio State University?
Yeah, I'd love to. So Students for a Sustainable Campus, essentially we focus on making OSU a more green, sustainable campus in general, which sustainability is kind of a buzzword and hot topic at this time. So it's kind of a general statement, and we kind of like to use that in a way that we can focus on essentially whatever environmental issues we want. So I guess kind of the things that we do and things that we get into are local cleanups of the area of campus to make campus more beautiful. We focus on pushing buying local by going to farmers markets or just in general advocacy and education around the area.
Great. And can you give the listeners and some background information about the organization? What is your main purpose? Who is involved in the organization, et cetera? Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Definitely. So our main purpose is essentially to educate and overall through that improve the sustainability of OSU. And then we don't like to focus on just OSU, but the area of Columbus in general. So some of the ways I guess we do that is through some examples of last semester. We did a showing of this movie called Plastic Paradise, which essentially focuses on the plastic consumption of the U.S. and how we are so addicted to the use of plastic, and kind of views that in a holistic perspective and how that came about and goals and steps we do to preventing that. Other than that, we've done local things like rain garden plantings, which rain gardens take the runoff from roofs, and they, instead of diverting it to the storm drains, which it then runs straight into the rivers and often picks up pollutants like heavy metals and trash and things like that, instead converts it into gardens where it in turn waters the gardens purify the water, and then let it slowly release into the systems. So those are just some basic, I guess, events and things we've done in the past year.
Some great things that you guys have done this year. And what activities is the organization involved with this year?
So this year, our main goal for this next semester is going to be focusing on plastic bags. We believe that they are kind of pointless, honestly, and there's much better alternatives such as reusable bags, which are more durable. You can reuse them. They're not just one use. You can take them with you. So we believe that it's just a non-essential and that we should work towards at least getting some sort of legislation to have them reduced. So our main goal with that is to get a petition going, which will in turn call for a tax on plastic bags. Because we believe that a tax makes more sense rather than going for an all-out ban, since it will kind of show people incentive, look, you are saving this much money by bringing your own bags to the store, kind of promoting the use of good habits. And then through that, hopefully in the future, it will in turn turn into a bag tax or a bag ban, sorry.
Just clarification, we're talking about paper and plastic bags, or are we only talking about plastic bags?
So essentially it's focusing more on plastic bags, but overall single-use bags in general, that's a good question, we think are just as bad because the research shows that each one is almost equally energy intensive. And if you're going by energy and resources, plastic bags are almost better in that aspect, which is interesting. But plastic bags actually stick around in the environment longer. They can blow away in the wind. They pollute our oceans, our waterways, and there's honestly just not a lot of good things for them. So equally, they aren't great. So I think the best alternative is just bringing your own bags.
Great. And Lucas, I understand members of your group attended the People's Climate March in New York back in September. What was the experience like? Can you tell me a little bit about that? What did your group do there? Did you guys meet any interesting people? Can you tell me a little bit about your experience at the People's Climate March in New York?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was an incredible experience. Really unmatched by anything I've ever gone to before. Just getting off the bus, you just felt the energy there. And the amount of people I was blown away by. It's just, we were by Central Gardens, and it just went all the way as far as the eye could see down the street. And just everyone in there for the same reason, which was really cool. We went down with Sierra Club, actually, was the one who organized all the buses to take people down. I believe we had 3 buses full of people from OSU all attending. And I talked to other friends who have gone kind of separately on their own. And, yeah, like I said, it's just as far as the eye could see. Everyone there with a different reason. They kind of had split up into different sections, each one representing different ideas and different people. The up front was indigenous communities affected by the environment. Another one was scientists. Another one was faith-based. So you split into different sections. So it's kind of cool to move up and down and see different reasons for everyone was there. I think one of the most impactful things I saw from an individual was one guy carrying around a jug of water from his property, and it was just yellow and nasty colored. And I talked to him a little bit about it, and he said it was from natural gas drilling on his property, and there was a mishap, and his whole water source was polluted and contaminated. Which was interesting because you don't hear much about actual accidents, but there's a firsthand incidence of it right there. As for speeches and things as that, there wasn't so much of that. It was more, since there was over 300,000 people there, it was more just a movement, a steady walk, just to demonstrate our presence there and have our voices heard. So there was many breakout sessions afterwards and events going on that you could attend to, but we had classes the next day. So after a short visit around New York, we got going.
Yeah, and I understand from the statistics that 400,000 people were in New York for this event, and it was the largest environmental march in history. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, it seemed like the United Nations, because the entire idea was for the United Nations to get attention for this, but it didn't seem like anything happened. What would you suggest should happen now?
Yeah, so that's the interesting thing with big movements like this, where it's kind of a brief insurgence of response and people notifying and people paying attention, but then the real challenge is keeping that going. Mm-hmm. Once you have that energy and the momentum in order to keep people's interests up. And I think that's kind of driven by individual organizations' work after that. And though the media is kind of like a child with ADD, it just looks at something and then gets its interest just completely diverted really quickly. So it's kind of hard to, because everyone kind of knows what's going on by media. So it's kind of up to the organizations, I think, to continue that movement with actions in their individuals' areas and keeping it more localized, mm-hmm. and each in their respective local regions, instead of trying to all at once hit the entire United States and world. But I think that it was taken notice. President Barack Obama in his speech mentioned it. Throughout the climate talks, there was much mention of it. Mm-hmm. It's, the, like you said, over 400,000 people, the largest march in history. I think people should take notice of that.
Do you know of any other Ohio State groups that were there or any other organizations from Ohio that were at the march?
Other than the OSU chapter of Sierra Club, not anyone that I can think of specifically. There was friends that I have that are part of a group called Students for Environmental Action, mm-hmm. were there, and various representatives from other groups that weren't going with their groups per se. They're going as individuals.
Okay.
So overall, you really enjoyed the march. You thought it was the biggest part of the movement.
Yeah, I would say so. As I said, it was kind of in a different way a part of the movement. I think everyone's, as I said, is doing things on the local level, but this was just time to get together with all these people. It also provided opportunity for collaboration, I think, of some of the greatest minds in the environmental movement today, and all these people showing support who are huge. Just an opportunity for all these people to get together, share ideas, and overall just show that they're not alone in what they're doing.
Yeah, and what kinds of things is your group doing to raise awareness of climate change? Are there things that your organization plans to do as a result of the march? I mean, it's been since September, so have there been things that you guys have been doing as a result of the march?
Yeah, climate change is, as we said, kind of a big topic. It's you can't point to one source and say this is causing climate change. So I think helping with climate change is any action you're doing which is improving living, improving how we live and combine with the environment and interact with it and how we live our everyday lives and working with different aspects of it. So I think we're doing that through, I guess you could say, through the plastic bag movement that we're doing right now. Though that's not directly contributing to climate change, you can't say plastic bags are causing climate change. Mm-hmm. I think you can say, looking at a holistic perspective, that through the production of plastic bags, lets off emissions. Through the creating of this plastic, it pollutes our environment. And then just you kind of look at the holistic perspective of it. So though we're not directly working on an issue right now that someone would say causes climate change, I think we're combating it in a different way.
Okay.
And is there anything else you would like to add about your organization or other environmental activities going on at The Ohio State University?
Definitely. I would say get involved. Whether you go to OSU, whether you're just a resident in the city, or no matter where you're at, there's always opportunities. If you see something that you feel passionately about, there's an outlet for that. And if there's not, you can create one. It's really only limited by what you can do, which is the cool thing I've seen. Just as more as you exercise your right and the power of the people, really, it just creates endless opportunities. And that's something I've really noticed as I've been at OSU, is that it's only limited by how much effort you want to put into it. So if you're passionate about something, honestly, you can do it. I guess something I'd like to throw in there about the OSU sustainability is that we recently created a sustainability council, which brings together the heads of all these groups on campus who have been divided and working on different projects, and brings them all together into one room so we can all work on single issues. So it's been cool seeing kind of revolution here of sustainability, and how instead of being all scattered around, now we're all combined and can put all our thoughts and ideas and collaboration together, and I think really make a bigger impact.
Yes, definitely. That is exciting. Fascinating conversation. Thank you so much, Lucas McClish, the president for Students for Sustainable Campus at The Ohio State University. Thank you so much for coming by.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
All right, we're going to take a little music break. This is Big Yellow Taxi from Counting Crows. I'm Lindsay, here for Youth Beat on Columbus Community Radio.
They paved paradise and put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? They paved paradise and put up a parking lot. They took all the trees and put them in a tree museum, and charge the people a dollar and a half to see them. No, 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 don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? You pay a paradise and put up a fucking lie. Screen door swang, and a big yellow taxi took my girl away. Now don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? To be paradise, put up a parking lot. Hey, nah, nah, don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? To be paradise. Put up a parking lot. Hey, 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 pay paradise. Put up a parking lot. I wanna give it, why you wanna give it, why you wanna give it?
So by now we've talked a little bit about the history of Earth Day, and we've heard from a student who treats every day like Earth Day. But we're leaving out a very important player in the Earth Day celebration. You. After all, what's a holiday if there's no one to celebrate it? But without Earth Day carols, a great feast, or any other festivities that usually mark a holiday, celebrations vary widely from place to place. There are scatterings of parties and events hosted by local groups or communities, but the real beauty of Earth Day is that it can be celebrated right at home. Want a few ideas? That's what we're here for. First and foremost, get outside. Sit on your porch and read, play a game of cards on the lawn, or break out the badminton or volleyball set. Get to know your neighbors a little better by inviting them to join you for a barbecue. Just remember to recycle your plates and silverware. Raining? Not a problem. Put on your boots and go puddle jumping, or just put on some old clothes and go get wet. Planting something is always a great idea, too, and it doesn't have to be a tree. Growing your own veggies and herbs is a cheap, fun, and yummy way to brighten your kitchen and help the planet. Seeds or starter kits can be found at any garden store and even most grocery stores. Just be sure you read up a bit before you buy. Some plants need special care, and each plant is unique. Feeling ambitious? Start a compost pile. Designate a spot in your backyard to toss coffee grounds, vegetable peelings, food scraps, grass clippings, paper, and other organic material. Over time, everything will decompose and break down into a rich and healthy soil, great for your garden and yard. Want to speed up the process a little bit? Try adding some earthworms to the mix. But you also don't have to go all out or spend a dime to help the planet. There are little actions you can do every day that will make this world a healthier place. See a piece of trash on the sidewalk? Pick it up and throw it out. Or put it in the recycling bin if you can. Save your plastic shopping bags and reuse them. They're great for lining small trash cans, and you can braid them into incredibly strong ropes. Seriously, folks, those things are almost unbreakable. If you're good with a thread and needle, sew your own reusable bags. Personalized and perfect for carrying groceries. That's the really neat thing about Earth Day. You can do almost anything you want to celebrate it. And you can do it on an individual or a group basis whenever and wherever you want, Earth Day or not. Well, I don't know about you folks, but an Earth Day special wouldn't be an Earth Day special if we didn't include one heck of a creature feature. With 8.7 million species inhabiting the same Earth as us, it can be hard to pick just one amazing animal. But this week's creature was an easy choice because it's one of those odd and admirable animals that never ceases to amaze. This week's creature feature is the binturong. Looking like something out of a children's book, with the body of a very tiny bear, a cat's face, and shaggy black hair, the binturong has long captivated the imagination. Making their home in the tropical forests of Southeast Asia, the binturong has a highly extensive diet. They'll eat anything from tropical fruits to veggies to mammals and more. Their tail is prehensile and allows them to hang from the trees and get a better grip when walking about on the branches. But the most interesting thing, by far, is their unique and delicious smell. Believe it or not, ladies and gents, binturongs smell remarkably like buttered popcorn. Scientists aren't exactly sure why these animals have such an interesting smell, but they do. And to top off the episode, we'll leave you with a quote. This was said by the man of the hour, the founder of Earth Day, Gaylord Nelson himself. There is a great need for the introduction of new values in our society, where bigger is not necessarily better, where slower can be faster, and where less can be more. For Youth Beat, I'm Lindsay Hirsch, here on Columbus Community Radio. Good night, Columbus. Have a good one.
Youth Beat Radio is funded by the School of Environment and Natural Resources at Ohio State University, the Ohio State University, and the Ohio State University Extension's Outreach Program, as well as the Puffin Foundation West and private sponsors. Check us out on the web at youthbeat.osu.edu or follow us on our Twitter page or our Facebook page.
Thank you.